Seeing the Invisible, Commentary for the August 20, 2022 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. John 14, verses 16 and 17. It is a bitter modern irony that religion and science often seem to be at odds. The Enlightenment that brought us to this pass was sown in no small part by a theologian and scientist who was willing to draw truth from both disciplines in a manner that allowed each to enhance the other. That man was Sir Isaac Newton. His contributions to mathematics, optics, and astronomy still influence scientific thought to the present. His theories on gravity and planetary interactions provided the foundation for understanding our world and solar system for centuries, until displaced by the next step on the staircase of discovery, Einstein's general theory of relativity. Less enlightened souls will challenge the idea of God by asking, where is he? Prove he exists. Why doesn't he show himself? Or even worse, they try to logically prove he does not exist. They ask questions like, could God make a rock so big he couldn't move it? They therefore relegate God to an absurdity based on the idea that God is all-powerful. This is all childish semantics, thought brilliant in the schoolyard, but hardly insightful. Besides, it only works with a literalist conservative approach to biblical understanding. That approach was falling away at the same time as Einstein's relativity was establishing itself and providing the springboard to quantum mechanics. It took us a long time to get there, but we now understand the relative nature of our universe and its quantum unpredictability. We realize that question about God moving a rock is just another iteration of Schrodinger's cat. If that hapless kitty can be both alive and dead, then certainly God can both be unable and able to move that rock. As for God not showing himself, there have been many things we could not see that we now know exist, thanks to amazing inventions like the electron microscope and the James Webb Orbiting Telescope. Both confirm that realms exist beyond our ken, realms that would have been considered magical fairylands before we had the tools to observe them. Given adequate tools, we do not know how far we can go into the subatomic. We may assume that it is contained in a finite frame, but what if the possibility existed for infinite magnification? What would we find? Would there be an infinite progression into finer and finer particles? When we peer out into the vast universe, every technological advance allows us to look ever further, yet there is still so much more we are unable to see. We can extrapolate based on what we see, but statistically, based on the idea of an infinite universe, our sampling, even at our current level, is still so small as to be statistically insignificant. In other words, we have no idea what is out there beyond our horizon of visibility. Given an infinite number of possibilities, probability theory tells us that eventually every kind of possibility exists in that infinite space, no matter how absurd it would seem in our understanding of experiential reality. One of the quandaries that makes God appear invisible, or at least indifferent, is that of prayer. Why does he seem to answer some prayers and not others? Why does Schrodinger's cat appear dead to some, but alive to others? Schrodinger posited that it was the act of observing that either doomed or saved the cat. Could something about the way we observe God, our perception, have a role? The person who does or does not observe the cat has an influence on the cat's state. But what if one is unaware of the cat's existence? Does he go on in his little box unimpeded by our indifference? Or does he continue to await inevitable discovery in a universe of infinite possibilities? Although some seem very sure that they have opened the box and found God dead, that assurance is challenged by the crudeness of our ability to create the tools whereby we measure our environment. We are at best like a caveman banging a couple of rocks together, and when the rocks break apart to reveal the flecks of mica within, he feels he now understands the stars above to be flecks of mica in a large rock. History tells us that such revelations can be defended to the death by those who accept them. But that same history also reveals that rarely do we have enough data to reveal the absolute truth. Our extrapolations about our universe can be just as crude as the ideas of that caveman with his rocks. That means our certainties about God and his existence can be also. Ultimately, we are left with the life of Jesus. He revealed all we could handle in his 3.5 years of ministry, but he didn't reveal everything. He knew that we did not have the tools to understand. He promised the Holy Spirit would lead us to greater understanding. He did not explain how that would happen. He only offered that it would. We determine if it will. If I'm a painter and someone gives me a set of mechanics tools in preparation for car trouble that will happen at some point in the future, I may toss them aside as irrelevant to my chosen field of painting. But eventually, if my car needs repair, I may see the value of the gift. Even more, I may even discover the value that would have been found in learning how the tools are used before they were needed. How often did the disciples wish they had paid closer attention to what Jesus was teaching before he was taken from them? Sadly, we do the same. The Bible is often the dustiest book in the house, or may not even be found in a home. Therefore, we do not have opportunity to understand the words of Jesus. We also do not pray despite Jesus' instructions to do so. Prayer is a tool for coupling us to something positive beyond ourselves. It changes our focus and thereby changes us. If observation has the power to change the state of something, then that focus can change the state of what we are focusing on. But these tools do not work without our belief in their efficacy. If I am working on an automobile engine that requires the bolts be torqued down to an exact amount, and I tell myself, I don't need a torque wrench, I can just do it by what feels right, I am asking for trouble. A few miles down the road with a blown head gasket, and the water in the engine either escaped as steam or trickled into my oil pan after my unwillingness to use a tool appropriate for the job, I am faced with the expense of rebuilding or replacing the engine. This and other similar experiences gave us older folks the wisdom we now have. We were young and stupid, but we learned from those experiences. Fortunately, we survived to benefit from that knowledge. Those of us who were wiser at a younger age asked those with more experience how to proceed and avoided the pitfalls others experienced. If we didn't have someone to ask, we would refer to a Chilton's or Haynes manual to parse out how to proceed with automobile repairs. Sometimes those manuals would get a little sketchy in spots, leaving us scratching our heads about how to complete the task. But we usually figured out what was needed. The Bible can be like that. There are lots of contradictory passages. For instance, we have the post-exilic prohibitions against marrying foreign women found in the writings of Ezra and Nehemiah. But in the book of Ruth, Boaz marries a Moabite woman, and that union was blessed by God to become the line of King David and eventually the Messiah. In the words of Jesus, we find a clarification of the contradictions. God is love, and when we reflect that in our characters, we understand what is contradictory to that character and what supports it, even in the Bible. The religious leaders of Christ's day were incensed with the idea that there were any problems in their interpretations of Scripture. As a result, they portrayed God as genocidal, racist, and homicidal, just like them. Religious leaders still do this today, whether it is Patriarch Kirill in Moscow urging holy war against the Ukrainian people, or evangelical leaders in the United States pushing for civil war. They would doubtless crucify a Christ that stood between them and their victims. The message of Jesus is simple. Love others as you love yourself, even your enemies. Why? Because that's what God does. Anything apart from that obscures the image of God in our lives. Everything throughout the universe proceeds from that simple principle. If we do not live that out in our lives, we're in contradiction to life as it was meant to be. But if we live it out, then the character of the invisible God becomes visible in us, and God becomes real in the world. We are the tool that makes that happen for ourselves and others. Thank you for listening to this podcast. You can find the footnotes with scripture references for this podcast, as well as a written version of this podcast, at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. You may also find hundreds of other commentaries. May God richly bless you and your family.